Hello, and welcome to the Daisy Doll and Steve Scout podcast. My name is Alex Bennett, and I am the museum curator here at the World Scouting Museum. Lately, I've been really busy trying to prepare for a brand new, massive donation to the World Scouting Museum, the A Century of Values RV, or the ACOV RV. We're really excited about this massive and large donation to the museum. And since I've been really busy trying to prepare for that while working on the newsletter and a few other things, I've asked Daisy and Steve to read this book that I got about the RV and to share the information with you guys all about it. Now, we also found a few news articles and a few other things, so there's lots of information. Well, that's enough for me. Let's get on with the show.
Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we are strapping ourselves into, a really unique piece of American road history.
Definitely.
We're talking about a 32-foot motorhome that didn't just haul a family cross-country. It carried, a whole century's worth of values, aspirations, and a ton of dedicated volunteerism.
Uh-huh. Across pretty much every state in the lower 48.
Exactly.
We are diving deep into the A Century of Values, or ACOV, recreational vehicle. And you're right, this RV is... it's way more than just transport.
Right.
It was the literal rolling centerpiece for the Boy Scouts of America's 100th anniversary kickoff tour. That ran for a whole year, 2009 to 2010.
A grueling year, I bet.
No, yeah. It was a road trip with, real historical, cultural, and even artistic purpose.
And our mission today for you is to follow that journey. We want to understand the, frankly, extraordinary logistics and the volunteer effort that kept it running and track its ultimate destination. Because this massive 32-foot traveling artifact, it's about to start a brand new life.
And that's why we're doing this deep dive right now, isn't it?
Precisely. This whole transformation is happening very soon.
That's the big news, really. The ACOV RV, along with its incredible logbook and some other historical items, is being officially donated.
Donated by the ACOV nonprofit organization, the folks based up in Michigan who've been looking after it.
Yep. And the recipient is the World Scouting Museum, the WSM, which is now in Charleston, West Virginia.
And this isn't years away. This is happening. Projected delivery date is early October 2025, like October 6th specifically.
Just around the corner.
So after covering enough pavement to circle the earth, almost twice?
Pretty much, yeah.
This 32-foot classy Coachman Freelander is shifting roles. It's going from being, promotional equipment.
A workhorse, really.
To a legitimate, preserved, and activated traveling artifact of that whole centennial outreach effort.
And 32 feet, think about that. It's longer than two standard cars bumper to bumper. It's basically a moving monument.
It really is.
And what's really fascinating, I think, for you to understand is that the story doesn't just stop when it gets to Charleston.
Okay.
The WSM has big plans. They intend to use it in a way that really honors its past as this, road warrior.
Right.
Leveraging its whole history for a new mission, a very local mission this time.
Interesting. So the donation is tied into the museum's own strategy, their new location.
Exactly. It's an acquisition that fits perfectly with where the museum is now and what it wants to achieve.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning then. The absolute genesis of this massive project.
Yeah.
Where did the idea even come from?
It really boils down to the vision and, frankly, the relentless drive of one man, Frank Mellon.
Frank Mellon.
Right. Yeah, he's quite a figure. He's 82 now. Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, also had a whole career as a scouting professional.
An Eagle Scout himself.
Oh, yeah. And raised two sons who also became Eagle Scouts. So deeply invested. He saw that 100th anniversary coming up in 2010, and he didn't just see it as, a date for a party.
He saw it as an opportunity.
Exactly. An opportunity for this unprecedented nationwide outreach effort.
And he was the one who organized the whole year-long road trip, the one he called A Century of Values.
That's him. He was the driving force.
Yep.
And it was way more than just a celebratory drive around. It was designed as this huge national grassroots campaign.
Trying to re-engage, every local community, every council.
Pretty much, yeah. The professionals, the volunteers, everyone.
Okay, so to pull that off, you need more than just enthusiasm. You need a vehicle, a serious vehicle.
You definitely do. And they needed something special, a real workhorse. This wasn't, something they just rented off a lot for a weekend.
No.
No, the RV was specially manufactured and actually donated by All American Homes and Coachman Industries.
Ah, Coachman. So it's a Class C Coachman Freelander. For people who aren't RV experts, what does Class C mean in this context?
Well, Class C is generally built on a cutaway chassis. You've got the truck cab up front and then the RV body built onto it, often with that overhang bunk above the cab. They're known for being pretty reliable, common choice for things like this, long-haul use.
So sturdy. Built for the job.
Exactly. Reflecting its purpose, this was meant to be a nonstop traveling outreach center.
And when you look inside, the descriptions make it clear, right? It wasn't about luxury.
Not at all. Function over form. The interior is described as practical, compact.
Designed specifically with, like, multiple bunks.
Yeah, to maximize sleeping space for the volunteer teams. They weren't worried about fancy kitchens or big screen TVs.
Yeah.
They needed space for these adult scouters to crash, grab a quick bite, and get back on the road. It was about the mission.
A machine built for constant motion.
Absolutely. But here's where it really goes beyond just being a tool and becomes, well, a true artifact.
The outside.
The outside. You just can't miss it. It's covered like stem to stern in a full body vinyl wrap, a mural.
And this mural isn't just random pictures. It's the history of scouting.
Exactly. A visual roadmap, basically, tracing the whole history chronologically.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting and maybe gives us a hint about their strategy even back then.
Mm.
The art, the quality. Who designed this thing?
Right, this is key. The artist was an Eagle Scout himself and a professional illustrator named Bill Morrison.
Bill Morrison? The name sounds familiar.
It should. He gave this 32-foot rolling billboard some serious artistic street cred.
Okay, lay it on us. What's his background? Because this seems important.
It is. It connects this whole thing not just to traditional scouting history, but maybe to, you know, the wider world of pop culture that kids were actually consuming.
How so?
Well, Morrison is a major comic book artist. He co-founded Bongo Comics.
Bongo Comics? The yeah. Simpsons comic?
That's the one. He was deeply involved with the Simpsons comics for years.
Okay, hold on. That raises a question for me right there. Why would an organization like the Boy Scouts, often seen as, you know, pretty traditional, conservative maybe, focused on history and bedrock values, why commission their centennial monument from an artist so tied to pop culture satire? The Simpsons. That's interesting.
It is a fascinating contrast, isn't it? And it doesn't stop there. Morrison also did movie posters for Walt Disney Pictures.
Okay, Disney's more traditional.
True, but then he was also a character designer for Futurama.
Matt Groening again.
Yeah.
Definitely not traditional scouting fare.
Right. And more recently, art director and character designer for Disenchantment on Netflix, another Groening show.
Wow. And wasn't he involved with Mad Magazine, too?
Yes. Former executive editor of Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine. The absolute cornerstone of American satire and, you know, poking fun at the establishment for decades.
Exactly. So you've got this artist with this incredible pedigree, blending top-notch design skill with this history in, let's say, irreverent pop culture.
So what does that tell us? That maybe, even back in 2009, the BSA knew they needed to connect differently.
It certainly suggests they recognized they couldn't just talk about tradition in the same old ways. They needed something visually arresting, something that spoke a language a broader, maybe younger, more modern audience would understand.
A moving piece of art that bridges generations, maybe.
I think so. They clearly treated this RV project with immense respect. They knew it had to grab eyeballs instantly at every single stop.
And the mural itself. What does it actually show, besides the history?
It visually highlights the founders' key milestones over the century and, crucially, the core ethics. The Scout Oath and the Scout Law are right there, prominently displayed.
Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly. All 12 points.
Courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Yep. All of them.
So those values weren't just like printed text on the side of a van.
No, the RV itself, wrapped in this high quality, instantly recognizable art style, became a rolling monument to that code of conduct.
Physically delivering the message state by state to kick off the big 100th anniversary.
Exactly. A moving mural carrying a century of values.
And that moving monument, it didn't waste any time. It went straight to work. The journey itself. Thinking about the scale is kind of mind-boggling.
It was incredibly ambitious, spanning 12 full months. This wasn't, you know, a quick summer road trip. This was a logistical marathon.
When did it actually run?
It started February 8th, 2009, and finished exactly 1 year later, February 8th, 2010, right on the centennial date.
And the main goal was what? Visit every single council.
Every single operating local Boy Scout council in the continental U.S. at the time. Audacious is the word for it.
Wait a minute. Every single council.
Yes.
In the entire country, how many are we talking about, roughly?
At that time, it was somewhere around 300 councils. coordinating a 32-foot vehicle to hit every single one.
In 365 days.
Across all those states and time zones.
That sounds like a planning nightmare. Worse than, I don't know, organizing a jamboree.
Maybe. But they managed it. Through sheer volunteer power and incredibly tight planning.
And the miles covered. The numbers are staggering.
They really are. The journey definitely covered 45,000 miles. Some sources even cite up to 49,000.
45,000 miles. Let's put that in perspective. That's like driving coast to coast across the U.S., what, 15 times?
Something like that, yeah. Or, like you said earlier, almost twice around the Earth at the equator.
Just incredible. And that was just the main tour, right? There was more.
That's right. After the official year ended, they logged an additional 8,000 miles doing what they called victory laps.
Victory laps? Where?
Mostly around Michigan, where the project originated, but also some other specific areas outside the initial route, just extra appearances and celebrations.
Oh, yeah. That RV definitely earned every single one of those dints and dings we'll talk about later.
It absolutely did. And it couldn't have happened without a huge volunteer force. It wasn't one driver or even one small team.
How did they structure it?
They broke the route down into legs. There were 16 different road teams.
16? Wow.
All made up of dedicated adult volunteer scouters. They each took a segment of the route.
And just to be clear, when we say scouters, these are the adult volunteers, right? Mm-hmm. Not paid staff.
Exactly. These are people with jobs, families.
Taking weeks off work, maybe. Using vacation time.
For sure. Dedicating serious chunks of their lives for weeks at a time just to drive this RV and fulfill the mission. High-level, committed volunteers.
And their mission was?
Pretty straightforward, but also quite profound. Celebrate the centennial, obviously. But the main point was to thank the local councils.
Thank them for what specifically?
For their professional service to young people. It was conceived as this massive, decentralized, rolling thank you tour. From the national level right down to the local professionals making it happen.
Okay, the logistics still make my head spin. Handing off a 32-foot RV between 16 different teams.
In different states, yeah.
Scheduling over 350 stops, managing maintenance, fuel. It must have required incredible communication and, well, trust.
Absolutely. And the logbooks, which are part of the donation to the WSM, they give you these fantastic little glimpses into life on the road.
Like what? Any specific examples?
Well, yeah. Take ACOV Team 7A, for instance. They were on the road from July 6th to July 17th, 2009.
Okay, about 12 days. Where did they go?
Their leg covered Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio. In just those 12 days, they drove 1,707 miles.
Wow.
And visited 16 different councils. Just boom, boom, boom.
That's intense. And I saw a note about Team 7A. Something about their expenses.
Yes. This is amazing. A specific note confirms that Team 7A raised all their own funds for that leg. Gas, food, any lodging they needed, they paid for it themselves.
Just to drive this RV across three states as volunteers,
that's
incredible dedication.
It really shows the grassroots passion, doesn't it? The commitment that was fueling this whole centennial effort.
Absolutely. Any other team stories?
Yeah, let's see. Team 9, they did a later leg, August 24th to September 5th, 2009.
Where did they cover?
Their route was Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. They clocked 1,685 miles and visited 11 councils.
And their logbook had something about maintenance.
Right. A very real-world detail. Their log notes needing some maintenance or repair work done at a Penske truck facility in Eau Claire, Minnesota.
Happens when you drive that much.
Exactly. And they specifically noted they got good service, which was crucial for staying on that tight schedule.
It's those little details, isn't it? It wasn't just a parade float. It was a working vehicle dealing with real road life.
Totally. Weather, traffic, mechanical issues.
Yeah.
And relying on the kindness and professionalism of people like the Penske folks all across the country, it humanizes the whole massive undertaking.
And the teams weren't just showing up and waving, right? They delivered something.
Yes. They brought a tangible gift to each stop to kind of solidify the visit. It was a special framed centennial portrait.
How big was it?
Pretty substantial, 24 inches by 36 inches, created specifically for this tour.
And who received it?
It was presented personally to every Council Scout executive at each stop.
So a physical reminder, the RV and the team were like ambassadors.
Exactly. They were the physical embodiment of the national centennial effort, bringing this official piece of history and appreciation right to the doorstep of the local leadership.
Making sure that big anniversary wasn't just something happening far away,
right,
but was recognized right there, locally.
Precisely. Memorializing the moment everywhere they stopped.
So when you have a vehicle that travels but 45,000 plus miles.
Yeah.
And makes over 350 stops. It's going to collect more than just road grime and maybe a few dings.
Oh, definitely. It collects history, documented history.
And in this case, a big part of that is the registry of signatures, right? The logbook.
Absolutely. The RV's logbook, or maybe better called its signature registry, is a really critical historical artifact on its own.
And that's part of the donation package going to the World Scouting Museum.
It is a very significant part. Think of it like a mobile guest book, capturing the names, maybe the excitement of thousands of people across the country during that whole centennial kickoff period.
That's amazing. And I saw a nice touch related to its Michigan roots, the cover.
Yeah, that's right. The cover for the registry was actually designed and crafted by a master woodcarver from Warren, Michigan, Archie Huggins.
So even the physical book itself has that regional artistic connection back to where the whole project started.
Mm-hmm. And these logs, they weren't just little notebooks. The original registry apparently filled two large books.
Two big books. How many signatures are we talking about?
The estimate is over 30,000 signatures in those original books.
30,000. Wow. That's more than just a guest book. That's like a demographic snapshot of scouting enthusiasm in 2009, 2010.
Exactly. It shows who was engaged, who came out to see the RV, an invaluable piece of social history for the organization.
You know, we need to be clear about where these artifacts ended up because there's a bit of movement here. Those original two big signature books, where did they go initially?
Right. So those two books, containing the bulk of the 30,000 signatures, were previously donated to the National Boy Scout Museum.
Okay, but now the RV itself, along with the logbook entries from the RV and other related items, that's what's going to the World Scouting Museum in West Virginia.
Correct. The WSM in Charleston is getting the vehicle and its direct provenance, including the log kept on the vehicle. It ensures the specific piece of mobile history is preserved and made accessible there.
Got it. And with 30,000 signatures, I imagine it wasn't just local kids signing.
Oh, I'm sure it was everyone. Local scouts, parents, leaders, community members, and probably some notable figures too.
Any fun anecdotes about signatures?
There's a great one mentioned in the sources. Apparently, a local scouter from the Blue Water Council in Michigan, Orville Collins. He was well known for portraying the founder, Baden Powell, at events.
Oh, like a historical reenactor.
Sort of, yeah. And he made a point to stop by the RV and add Baden Powell's name to the registry.
That's fantastic. Like getting a symbolic blessing from the founder himself on this historic document.
Exactly. A really nice touch connecting the past to that centennial moment.
But history, especially history that bounces along 45,000 miles of highway, it doesn't stay showroom perfect, does it?
Not a chance. And this transition, the donation, it forces us to acknowledge the physical toll. A year of basically nonstop professional level road work that beats up a vehicle.
So the RV has some character.
That's a polite way to put it. The sources are pretty upfront. It has earned its few dents and dings.
Ah, I bet.
Apparently, when some of the original road trippers had a reunion earlier this year in March 2025, those little dents and dings brought back a flood of shared memories. Stories of minor mishaps, tight squeezes, quick thinking needed in small towns. It becomes part of the vehicle's story.
Evidence of a job well done, in a way. Battle scars.
Totally. But those battle scars also mean preservation becomes really important before the handover.
And Frank Mallon, the guy who started it all, he led that charge too.
He did. He launched a project called Back on the Road Again 2025.
Okay, what was the goal?
The specific goal was to raise $25,000. Not just for cosmetic stuff, but for a proper refurbishment. To stabilize the vehicle, fix mechanical things, make sure the wrap was secure, get the interior spruced up, basically get it ready for its next life, the museum.
$25,000. That's a decent chunk of change for an older RV. Did they reach the goal?
It sounds like it was a push right up to the end. Mallon noted, shortly before the donation was finalized, that they still needed about $10,000 more for a full refurbishment.
It really highlights the cost involved in preserving something like this, doesn't it? It's not just parking it in a garage.
Not at all. Especially something complex like a motorhome. You've got engines, plumbing, electrical, the exterior wrap. Lots to maintain.
But the effort shows there was this strong belief, right, that the RV wasn't finished.
Absolutely. The belief that it still has some life in it yet. It wasn't just being saved to sit there like a statue.
He wanted it to be functional, ready for whatever the museum had planned.
Exactly, which makes the actual handover, you know, pretty emotional.
For the volunteers especially, I imagine. Those 16 teams.
Yeah, think about it. They lived in that confined 32-foot space for weeks. drove it thousands of miles, probably dealt with breakdowns, bad weather, long hours. It becomes more than just a vehicle.
It's like a teammate almost.
Kind of, yeah. So handing over the keys is a big deal.
Did Mellon say anything about that?
He did. There's a poignant quote mentioned. He was sitting in the RV with another one of the road trippers, Maury Marshall.
Yeah.
And he said, "It will be a sad day, but it will be a happy one too."
Sad to let it go.
Sad to see their direct involvement end, perhaps.
Yeah.
But happy. Happy that its legacy is secure, going to a dedicated museum, and, crucially, knowing it's going to be used and activated for future generations.
A fitting end to their chapter.
Yeah.
And the start of a new one. Okay, so that happy day leads us straight to the RV's future. Its new home, its new mission, the World Scouting Museum, the WSM. Tell us about this place. It sounds like a major institution.
It really is. And the location is absolutely key to understanding the RV's future role. It's in Charleston, West Virginia.
Charleston, West Virginia. Okay. And they moved there recently.
Relatively recently, yeah. Mid-2023. They relocated the entire museum from Las Vegas.
Whoa, wait. From Las Vegas, Nevada to Charleston, West Virginia. That's a huge geographical shift. Why Charleston? What's the strategic thinking there?
It's all about proximity. Proximity and access to the beating heart of modern American scouting, you could say.
How so? What's near Charleston?
The Summit Bechtel Reserve, the SBR. It's only about an hour and a half drive away.
Ah, the Summit. Okay, for listeners who might not know, the SBR
It's
massive, right?
It's huge, 10,000 acres. It's one of the BSA's National High Adventure Bases, but it's also a major permanent training center, and it hosts the National Scout Jamborees.
The Jamborees, where tens of thousands of scouts gather every few years.
Exactly, and international events, too. So by moving to Charleston, the WSM put itself right next door to where huge numbers of scouts, leaders, and volunteers gather regularly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They didn't just move to store artifacts. They moved to be part of the action, to engage with the next generation directly.
Precisely. It positions the museum to not just preserve history, but to actively participate in making future scouting history.
Smart move. And the museum itself, aside from the location, is it big?
Oh, yeah. It occupies about 7,000 square feet, and it bills itself quite credibly as the largest collection of scouting memorabilia in the world.
The largest in the world? Seriously?
That's the claim, and the numbers seem to back it up. They apparently hold over 200,000 scouting artifacts.
200,000?
Yeah, and not just U.S. stuff. Artifacts from scouting groups in over 150 countries.
Wow. Okay, so the ACOV-RV isn't just joining some small local collection. It's becoming part of this massive global archive of scouting history.
A very significant addition to an already incredible collection. And it's important to know the WSM isn't just a warehouse. It's an active museum.
What kind of things do they do?
They run programs already. Things like a merit badge college for local scouts. They host rotating exhibits tied to anniversaries or themes. Educational outreach.
So the RV isn't just going into mothballs. It's joining an active, operational, educational environment.
Exactly. Which brings us to its new job. The WSM has really ambitious plans for this 32-foot veteran.
More than just sitting on display.
Oh, much more. While, yes, it will be a permanent exhibit that visitors can walk through and see.
Okay.
Its primary function is going to be something else. They plan to use it as a roving mini museum, a mobile museum unit.
A mobile museum. So it keeps traveling. Like it did originally.
In a way, yes. It's this beautiful full circle thing, continuing its original purpose, but shifting the focus.
From national outreach.
To really deep, localized educational outreach. Starting right there in West Virginia and the surrounding Appalachian region, they'll fill it with exhibits and take it out to the people.
That's fantastic. Where exactly do they plan to take it? What are the targets for this mobile unit?
They have a whole list. Local libraries, which is great for community access.
Yeah.
Community events, like maybe the Sternwell Regatta in Charleston, or the Live on the Levee concert series. Places where families are already gathered.
Makes sense. Taking the museum to the people.
Exactly. And critically, they plan to use it heavily at events at the Summit Bechtel Reserve.
Back to the SBR connection. So taking it to jamborees.
Definitely jamborees, where you have that huge captive audience of scouts and leaders. But also things like traderies.
Traderies. Okay, quick explanation for the non-scouters.
Yeah.
That's like a big swap meet for patches and memorabilia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huge within scouting culture.
Exactly. Massive events for collectors and enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. Putting the RV right in the middle of that connects it directly with people deeply passionate about scouting history and artifacts.
Okay, that's clever. Any other plans?
Yes. One really interesting, very specific goal. They want to use the RV as a marketing and social media tool by visiting every single state park in West Virginia.
Every single one. How many state parks does West Virginia have?
Quite a few. It's a big commitment. Over 35 parks plus forests.
Wow. So the mission is shifting again from celebrating the national centennial to actively teaching core outdoor skills, maybe, and environmental ethics like leave no trace.
That seems to be the idea. Using the RV to promote outdoor education and responsible enjoyment of West Virginia's own natural beauty.
Connecting the RV's legacy directly back to the land and to the core outdoor ethos of scouting itself. That's really fitting.
It really is. But this mobile dream, this whole ambitious plan, it needs fuel, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. The practicalities. It costs money to run a 32-foot mobile museum.
It certainly does. So to make this five-year vision happen, the state park tours, the community events, the WSM needs help. The donation of the vehicle is huge, but it's just the start.
They need operational funding.
Exactly. They've launched a specific fundraising campaign. The goal is
$20,000. $20,000. Yeah. And that's budgeted to cover how long?
5 years of operational costs for the RV's mobile mission.
Okay, so $4,000 a year, roughly. That seems pretty lean for running an RV that much.
It does, which shows how carefully they're planning. But that $20,000 is crucial. It's really the so what of the donation. Without it, the RV risks just becoming, you know, a cool static display.
Instead of the active educational tool they envision.
Precisely.
What specifically will that $20,000 cover? Do they break it down?
They do, and the breakdown really tells the story of what the RV will be doing.
Like what?
Okay, so they need funds for an RV carport or some kind of protective cover at the museum site.
Yeah.
Essential for preserving that historic wrap and the vehicle itself from weather.
Makes sense. Preservation costs.
Yep. Then there's insurance, obviously. Mm. Ongoing maintenance, you know, oil changes, tires, things break on RVs.
Definitely.
The cost of gasoline. A big one if you're visiting every state park. Campground fees for overnight stays during those state park tours. Registration fees to participate in certain community events or festivals. Upgrades to security cameras for the unit, presumably both at the museum and maybe when it's out on the road.
All right.
And finally, funds for creating the actual display materials and programming that will go inside the RV to turn it into that mini museum.
That breakdown is really helpful. It shows exactly where the money goes. Gas and campground fees are the direct cost of fulfilling the state park promise. The carport is artifact care. It's all tied to the mission.
Absolutely. That $20,000 campaign is literally about bridging the gap between receiving this national artifact and transforming it into a working, hyper-local educational resource for years to come.
The museum clearly sees it as an investment, then, making history active, not just passive.
That's exactly it. Ensuring the RV continues its core mission, delivering values, delivering history, delivering education directly to people. Just now, focused on the youth and the beautiful natural settings of West Virginia.
So that really completes the picture, doesn't it? This incredible transformation. From a nationwide promotional tool, clocking 45,000 miles for a centennial, to becoming a permanent museum piece, but one that's going to focus intensely on local education, local outreach, local values reinforcement, right there in the Mountain State.
And it's nice to circle back to that Michigan connection, too, where it all started, and how that connects to the whole theme of values. You think about Gerald Ford, probably Michigan's most famous Eagle Scout.
President Ford,
Remember how people sometimes criticized him as president for being too much of a Boy Scout?
I do, like he was naive or something.
Right. But he pushed back. He insisted that those scouting values, honesty, integrity, trustworthiness, would be his compass, his guide for leadership.
So the RV, originating from Ford's home state, kind of carries that same ethos, that same insistence on values as it moves to its new home.
I think that's a nice way to think about it, It leaves its birthplace carrying that legacy forward.
It really is history on wheels, finding its next and maybe its most focused chapter yet.
It really is. And, you know, it makes you think, it raises a final question maybe for you, the listener, to mull over. If the ACOV RV's first big mission was this broad national tour, primarily thanking the professional leadership across the country, what does it signify that its next mission is so intensely local, focused on teaching young people, connecting them with scouting's values, by physically taking them into West Virginia's own unique natural environment, into those state parks?
From national thank you to a local teach and connect.
Wow. Thank you, Daisy and Steve, for all that great information about the Century of Values RV. We want to thank Frank Mallon and the Century of Values nonprofit for choosing the World Scouting Museum to donate this amazing piece of scouting history to. We are really excited to utilize this, and we really do hope that we'll be able to do all those things that we have planned for it or that we can plan to do with it. But a lot of that depends on you. So if you do have any extra money that you could donate to the RV, we would really, really appreciate that. We hope that you have a great month, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next month in the next podcast episode. Thanks.